Everyone, and welcome if it is your first time here, or welcome back to Am I Aspie or ASD? A mini series devoted to sharing the findings and experiences of people with an Asperger's diagnosis after the DSM-5 changed it to Autism Spectrum Disorder and how it relates to their identity. I am Joanna Simmons, a psychology graduate, autism researcher and podcaster, and I am so glad you have returned to join me today with episode 3. Last episode introduced what the changes to the DSM were, what the DSM is, and other information about the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. If you are unsure what that is all about, you might want to go back to that episode and have a listen. Today is the first of 3 episodes where we will cover in more depth the types of responses the people that we spoke to had when the DSM-5 merged the Asperger's disorder diagnosis to combine them to make autism spectrum disorder, as it's officially known, or as we like to say, autism spectrum condition. Before we begin with that, I invite you to take a moment to check in with how you're feeling today. Maybe as you're doing whatever you're doing while you listen to this, you want to stop for a second and take a breath in and out. Notice how that feels. If you're holding any tension anywhere, or if you want to take a few more deep breaths. Do any words come to mind that could identify how you are feeling? Can you feel it anywhere in particular in your body? Feel free to pause or take this time to do whatever you need to do to make sure our time together in this episode will be as comfortable for you as possible. I am so grateful you are giving me your 2 most precious resources, your time and your attention. If you like, you can mindfully notice whatever sounds are in your environment that help bring you to this present moment. If you're wearing headphones and you can only hear this podcast, then maybe you can hear sounds inside of yourself. I'm grateful to be able to share this time with you and share the stories of others to help increase understanding of the complexity around identity. I also invite you to take a moment to acknowledge the land that you are listening to this upon, the traditional owners of the land, their complex, rich stories and identities, and the journeys and changes that they might have taken and made in order for us to understand how they are and how we are. Okay, so here we go. As covered in the last episode, in 2013, when the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, basically the big old book, the encyclopedia-like book that contains all of the information medical practitioners need to diagnose someone with a mental illness or disorder, when it was updated to combine Asperger's to ASC, its impact was predicted and measured on some of the people who the change affected, like medical practitioners, the public, what the stigma was going to be like, how that was going to be changed, how people would be diagnosed, and the social effects amongst all of these groups. However, limited research has been done to see what the responses are for those directly affected. People who have been diagnosed before 2013 as Asperger's, now ASC. And it's not to be confused, this whole ASD, ASC, I just want to say it's not to be confused with ACDC, the Australian rock band popular in the 80s, famous for songs like this. So remember when I say ASC, I'm talking about autism as the spectrum condition, which is known in the DSM as ASD. So Autistic researchers Olivia Smith and Sandra Jones recruited participants to be part of this study, a study involving asking the people who received this diagnosis of Asperger's how they feel about the fact that now kind of Asperger's doesn't really exist and it's supposed to be called ASD. To participate in the study, they were required to be over 18 years old and have a DSM-4 diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome. After a few technical things to ensure the participants consented and were aware of the nature of the research, the final sample consisted of 3 females and 9 males, aging from 22 to 69 years old. Now, you may think that a ratio of 3 females to 9 males seems relatively uneven, and yes, I agree. But that ratio is actually a consistent representation of how 80% of people with an ASD diagnosis are male. That's according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics in 2014. And this sample size of 12 people was also consistent with other studies done in this area. So it got the green light. The participants engaged in a semi-structured interview with a researcher at a place that was convenient to both people, so it didn't happen in a lab or anything. And the participants were allowed to bring someone with them to the interview because it's been found that going to these things alone, especially when someone is neurodiverse, can be intimidating. All the people we spoke to in this study came alone. The interviews went from half an hour to an hour, and participants received reimbursement for their time and the opportunity to see the results of the study later. So during this interview with the researcher and the participant was treated as an expert in the subject matter. I mean, technically, since it is a study on identity for people who have had their diagnosis changed, and these are the people who have had their diagnoses changed, they are the experts. And maybe, well, I mean, all of this experience that I'm sharing and information, some of it's not my own, and I want to let you know I am not an expert in this stuff. I'm really kind of passing it on. I think, if anything, we are the experts of our own experience, right? Anyway, so back to the study. Then, during the interviews, audio recordings were taken and they were transcribed and analyzed through what themes, what kind of words, what kind of ideas came through from each one. The responses were put into categories, either for those supportive of the changes, opposed to the changes, and mixed feelings around the changes. And the next 3 episodes of this series will be devoted to each one. So first up, supportive of the changes! Woo, woo, woo! So of the 12 participants, those supportive of the changes had a few justifications as to why they were thinking it was a good idea. Firstly, some said that the change would improve diagnostic accuracy, as research has shown that Asperger's and autism are not qualitatively different. Similarly, how the colour orange and the colour red are not, they move along a spectrum. There's no sudden box that you can tick to signify the difference between each one. To make it simpler, these participants recognised there is not a clear line between Asperger's and autism, so by making it one diagnosis on a spectrum or under an umbrella, it means no one is diagnosed incorrectly as this or that. Those supportive of the changes also saw the social benefits, believing that a single diagnosis would hopefully lead to greater unity and belonging for all people on the autism spectrum. They also hoped this would result in greater empathy from wider society. This could be because a spectrum frames things in a way that appreciates all differences and recognises that we all fall upon somewhere and we're all a different beautiful colour within it. The participants who are supportive of the changes appear to have gone through the coming out and coming home stages of Gill's disability identity development. We talked about those in episode 1. So these people are comfortable with being open about having autism and they wish to connect and affiliate with others with autism. And we're going to hear some of their perspectives just now, Now, these aren't their actual voices or their words. I have paraphrased them to give you the gist of the experience and bring it to life. Are you ready? So participant one is a male, 25 years of age, and was seeking employment at the time of the study. How do you feel about the changes to the DSM?
I feel like these changes are good. They reflect the current knowledge that there is of autism. I was diagnosed when I was young, but I was not told about my diagnosis till I was about 11 or 13. This was life-changing. It's like this label helps me understand the parts of me that I don't like, that it's like, not me that's doing that, it's the autism. I don't know, it keeps a separation or externalizes it. I didn't really want anyone to know though, like I would do whatever I could to hide it from them.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah. And what did the DSM-5 changes bring for you?
It kind of shook things up a bit. It got me to start exploring myself and my identity more and reflecting on it. It's going to be a long process of unpacking and evolving and changing the times. Like basically anyone whose identity is given to them tends to be.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a real positive outlook on it all. And so what has this reflection process looked like for you?
Like looking at what other traits that I have that are also shared with autism, rather than seeing them as separate, seeing what is shared, it's made me also really want to help separate autism culture from the medical model, which sees autism as a deficit, like something to be fixed. For me, it's not that. Autism is a difference, not a deficit.
Participant 4 was also supportive of the changes. She is 22 years old and currently an employee. Yeah, I wasn't diagnosed until early adolescence. It felt like it took forever considering how primary school was really tough. I was bullied a lot. Socially isolated, I felt like I could never fit in. I feel like the DSM-5 changes will bring more awareness around autism. I mean, I've always thought autism and Asperger's are roughly the same thing. Even before the DSM-5 changes, the ways individuals were different could be explained in a broad spectrum. And what's your relationship to labels and diagnoses been? Well, I think I used being Asperger's or autistic as like an excuse in some ways, but eventually I grew to feel that autism is something that has value for me. Like, it makes me want to help others. I want to help people like me unlock their potential. Cool. That sounds really exciting and I reckon that you can. What do you think about the DSM-5 changes? I think it's good. I hope that DSM-5 changes means that the needs of everyone on the spectrum are recognized. I feel like now there's just one label. It's like brought a greater sense of like solidarity within the autism community. Like when there's just one label, there's one difficulty that can bring more togetherness and more stories. Next, we are going to hear from participant 6. And by the way, it's only when I just say that I really do need to acknowledge my Kiwi accent. I hope that it's been fun for you, my friends. Okay, participant 6 is a 30-year-old self-employed male. Like participant 1, he was diagnosed as a young child, but not told about his diagnosis until adolescence.
It's been a process. Although it's brought me a sense of belonging and understanding, for a long time I was ashamed of it. Now that I'm an adult, I feel like I can, and I do, openly identify as being on the autism spectrum. I don't feel like the specific label, whether it's Asperger's or autistic, that matters. More it's like having something to describe the difference. That's what matters.
So having something, it's not about what it is, but it's having something to describe the difference. I hear you. And so how do you feel about the DSM-5 changes?
Yeah, now I'm supportive of them. I think making it one diagnosis is an opportunity for greater connectedness amongst individuals among the autism spectrum. I think that these changes are good because they can increase awareness of the diversity that exists. I have to say, when the changes first happened, I really stuck to the fence of Asperger's, especially since I was still an adolescent. But the changes brought some new things to light and helped me look at them directly. They ignited a new chance to reflect on what this all meant for me and my identity.
Participant 8's diagnosis was suggested by her psychiatrist following receiving diagnoses of attention deficit disorder and schizophrenia. Participant 8 is 44, on the disability support pension. And a reminder, this isn't her actual voice or words, more the idea of the feelings of how the change to the DSM affected her. So, can you tell me, how did you feel about your diagnosis? To be honest, as soon as he said Asperger's, it made perfect sense. It made all of the social isolation, bullying, and depression I experienced actually fit. Look, initially it felt like a deficit, like something wrong. But now I see it as a relief. Yeah, as Asperger's is as much of a blessing as a curse. Thanks for sharing. And so what do the DSM-5 changes mean for you? I think they suggest that we are moving towards no longer seeing autism or Asperger's as disorders or disabilities, but as different ways of thinking instead. I think in this way it also means that more people's needs would be met. Participant 11, like participant 5, who we'll hear from later in later episodes, sought a diagnosis following his son receiving one. Participant 11 is male, 60 years of age, and employed. So what was receiving the diagnosis like for you?
It was one of the greatest reliefs of my life. Honestly, I didn't expect it to, but it really had a positive effect on my self-esteem.
Oh, wow. Can you then describe for me what you think of the DSM-5 changes?
I think it was a good thing. Look, I've always identified with the autism label. I feel like it and the previous division between Asperger's and autism was marginalizing. It felt like Asperger's was a form of elitism. Asperger's and autism has always been linked. The DSM-5 changes simply reflect our growing understanding of autism and the nature of the spectrum. It's progress. It's a good thing.
Wow. That was a big episode. And as you can hear, though all the perspectives we heard from were supportive of the changes, they still all had a huge variety in their thoughts and experiences around their diagnoses and then the changes to the DSM-5. Maybe you might reflect that some of that stuff you connected with and the things that they were saying, it really landed with you, or maybe some of the things felt like it didn't make sense or connect with you at all. I think that's such an example of how, when it comes to identity, we can all be really different in terms of how we feel and how we experience these things, and also how that's really open to changing over time. I feel like we've covered a lot, and there's not much more to add from me today. Nice. Yeah, nice. Thanks for listening. So the next episode, we will hear from people who were opposed to the changes. If it's anything to go off what we heard today, it's going to be a juicy one. For now, I really hope you take care And I look forward to having you back here really soon. Joining me on this episode of Am I Aspie or Autistic? This series was made as part of the Winter Research Scholarship funded by the Australian Catholic University. Most of the information used in this series is from the research by Sandra Jones and Olivia Smith's 2020 paper, Coming Out with Autism, Identity in People with an Asperger's Diagnosis After DSM-5. Links to the original paper and other articles I used to write this episode are in the show notes. This podcast was written, edited, and recorded by me, Joanna Simmons, with the incredible vocal contribution of Lincoln Jones. Thanks to the support of Sandra Jones, Jennifer Lowe, Lisa Levy, and the team at ACU. If you want to share your thoughts of the episode, feel free to post a comment or review, share with a friend or family member, or write to us on autism@acu.edu.au. We would love to hear any questions you have and what this episode brought up for you.